Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Today is a very special service. For one, it's our 22nd anniversary, and so for 22 years, we've experienced God's unique grace to and through the church, and we get to celebrate that. Beyond that, we are bringing to a close our Generosity Initiative series and really beginning what we will be a two-year journey of faith and stewardship. And if you're visiting, we are looking to find a bigger campus for our church with the hopes of continuing to expand the ministry of the gospel, not only here in the South Bay, but really beyond. Now, I know people are looking forward to this morning for different reasons. We have a couple of testimonies. That is always a highlight of the anniversary services. We get to share with you about how much people committed to our generosity initiative. That's pretty exciting. But while those are cool, I think there's definitely something some people are looking forward to more, and that's the special anniversary snacks we're going to have after service, namely concha and frost bites and churros. So it's after. You can't go now. Like, you can't get in line early. I'm not joking, because we've literally been told that's what some people are looking forward to the most. So it's almost like, yeah, I heard you're sharing. You know what I'm really looking forward to? And it's like ice cream, which is understandable. And all that is coming. But as you know, the main reason we're here today is to celebrate our faithful Savior. So before anything else, as is tradition for anniversary services, we want to take time to remember and celebrate God's kindness to and through this church family. In particular, something that we love doing is remembering the work of grace God has done in the lives of our members. That's why every year we have people share testimonies. In part, it's our way of being faithful to the Bible's call to remember what God has done. We see that over and over in the Bible, remember. We need to remember his great works, his glorious deeds, his love, and his kindness. And so every year, people share testimony so that we can remember and thank God and be encouraged in our faith. But importantly, in those many testimonies, the focus most often hasn't been on the things that God has done circumstantially. Like, hey, you know, this is God fixed all my problems. It's been primarily on what God has done in teaching us truth, in challenging the way that we live, in encouraging our worship, in deepening our love, and ultimately in transforming our hearts by grace. In fact, we're very excited because next Sunday we're having 16 baptisms, and each of them is just going to share a testimony of God's grace in their lives. And that desire to focus on gospel grace for our anniversary service today really lines up with what we have said from the beginning of our generosity initiative. This is first and foremost about what God will do in our hearts. More than the focus has been on giving and raising money or on getting a new church building or anything like that, this has been about what it means to treasure Christ, what it means to let the gospel grace reveal to us the joy of generosity. And so as we remember God's grace this morning, let me ask you this: how have you treasured Christ more? I mean, that's what we want to celebrate today. And so this morning, here's the first thing we want to do. Before we talk about giving and numbers, we want to be thankful for what God has done in each of us. Because as much as any money committed is a call to celebrate, what should amaze us more is the greater miracle of changed lives. And so that's kind of my simple encouragement for this first devotional. And yes, there are two devotionals. The first one is this: let's be thankful for the greater grace of transformed hearts. Let's be thankful for the greater grace of transformed hearts. And we need this. I think we need grace. Like going into the generosity initiative, I hope all of us were honest enough to recognize that there was work to be done in our hearts. Rich or poor, young or old, new Christian, mature Christian, all of us needed to grow. I know I had, and I still have growing to do. For example, I like to think that I'm not too materialistic, and then at times, I know that I can be materialistic. For example, someone left a sticker on my desk. It said, if you want to impress me with your car, it better be a taco truck. And I was thinking, it's funny, but it's kind of true. Like, if we didn't know each other and you showed me your luxury car, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. You know, like, what is the gas mileage? I don't know. But if you had a taco truck, I'd be like, oh, man, can we be friends? Like, we could tell each other secrets and get tattoos. I don't know, but like, and like, joking aside, like, I started to think about this. I'm like, man, that would be really cool. Like, if I knew someone that actually owned a taco truck, and then I thought, wait, maybe the church should buy a taco truck. It was like this rabbit hole, like this long, I mean, it was bad. So obviously work to be done in my life. But again, that work is what we should celebrate first this morning. And so one thing we'll do in a few minutes is hear a couple of testimonies with that focus. We want to celebrate God's kindness in the lives of a couple of the members of our church family. And we do this because we see this example in Scripture, what it means to hope more than anything else for God to work in us. Does that kind of make sense? So for example, we see in Philippians chapter 4 an illustration of this. Now, in a few weeks, we begin a study of Philippians that'll take us through the end of the year. I'm really looking forward to it. But one of the reasons it's so fitting is that Paul writes in part because of the financial gift the Philippians gave to support him in prison and to support his ministry. He writes this in Philippians 4:14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So it seems fitting to study this letter after we made our financial commitment of support to the ministry. Now you can imagine that for Paul, practically, the Philippian support was very helpful. In that time, prisoners would often have to actually take care of themselves, so family and friends would bring food and the such just so they could survive. So having no means to support himself, he would only survive on the kindness of others, and this is what the Philippians did. On multiple occasions, they sent him money so that he could survive and continue to minister both in prison and in his letter-writing ministry. And yet, as helpful as that money was, I mean, this was about survival, getting it isn't what blessed him the most. Because to Paul, more important than what the gift meant for him is what it meant for them. Remember, he tells them in verse 11, "If I've learned in whatever situation, I am to be content." In other words, the money isn't what makes him happy because he's already content in Christ. Rather, in verse 17, he shares what makes him most excited about the gift. He writes, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." From the beginning of the generosity initiative, we have said, this isn't about what the leaders want from you, but what we want for you. And verse 17 is Paul saying exactly that. This generosity is not about what he wants from them, but what he wants for them. Now, part of the blessing he wants for them is rewards in heaven. So Paul absolutely believes that there will be zero regret in heaven because of their generosity, only rejoicing over the treasures they have built up. But it's more than that. It's the work of grace that they were experiencing right now. As one commentator writes, their gift brought Paul joy, not because of its personal material benefit to him, but because of its spiritual benefit to them. In other words, he's so thankful because of the work of grace their generosity represented. Remember, Paul, he really loved the Philippian church. We're going to see that as we study it. And so nothing made him happier than for them to experience the transforming power of grace. And so for Paul, their monetary gift wasn't the big miracle. It just represented the greater miracle of a transformed heart. I mean, if you think about it, God could have provided for Paul in any number of ways. I mean, the God who created the universe out of nothing could have done whatever he wanted to take care of Paul. Manna from heaven to feed him, powerful angels to free him. I mean, this is God. What could he not have done? But in providing for him through the Philippians' generosity, what does Paul understand? That the miracle that Paul did wasn't material, but spiritual. It was in their hearts. It was in their changed lives. And understand, this generosity wasn't simply because, you know, they were like really kind or selfless people. This really was a beautiful, powerful work of grace. Because remember, the Philippian church was likely struggling financially. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul writes about the churches in Macedonia, which would have included the Philippian church. He says, For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So they weren't a wealthy church. Apparently many were living in poverty, but out of that poverty, they found ways to be generous. And to demonstrate even more clearly the powerful act of grace this was, Paul doesn't just say they gave generously. It says they gave out of the abundance of joy. They're in poverty. They gave out of the abundance of joy. If you have nothing and you find joy in being generous, that's a powerful work of grace worth rejoicing over. And this is why Paul says to the Philippians that he dearly loves, that their gift isn't really about what he wants from them, but what he wants for them. And what he wants for them is to experience the powerful grace of God. And similarly, this is where we want our focus to be as we start, because this is what we want to celebrate the most. Like we want to thank God that over this last season, he has done a pretty incredible work in our hearts in beginning to free us from the love of money. Biblically and logically, money is a cruel master. As we consider our worries over money, our discontent with what we have, our judgmentalism over those who have more or who have less, the compromises we make in life so we can make more money, how hard it is to be generous with the church and others, just to name a few, we realize that the money isn't the God the world makes it out to be. And yet that all being said, if we are honest, money is pretty easy to love and pretty easy to trust in. It seems to have so much power in this world, and it seems to offer so much. And that's why most of us want more money. So though we would call money an idol, like a counterfeit God, most of us have bowed down at its altar. So the only way we'll be free of its tyranny is if God opens our eyes to see that Christ is the true treasure. And that's what we've seen over the past couple of months. God freeing us from being enslaved to money and showing us the beauty of Jesus. God allowing us to see money as a gift and not a God, and so finding joy in our generosity. That is powerful grace. That's his love for us, and that's more than we deserve. And that's why we celebrate today. And so let's begin by celebrating that first. At the beginning, I asked, how have you treasured Christ more? Well, we're going to hear two testimonies where a couple members of our church family answered that question for their lives. And share about, you know, how God has been teaching them over these last couple of months. And so first, will you join me in welcoming Caitlin Ho to share a bit of her story?
Good morning, Lighthouse family. My name is Caitlin, and I've been a member at Lighthouse for almost 5 years. Lighthouse has poured so much into me, so it is an honor to share a recent testimony in hopes that God will use it to encourage you all in his unwavering faithfulness. God is always doing far more than we can even begin to think or imagine. Without me realizing, God was using our Treasuring Christ series to prepare me for a trial I never could have expected. A little over a month ago, my house got robbed. I had just come home after spending the afternoon with a young mom from our church when I found my house in a state I had not left it. Shattered windows, open drawers, ransacked closets, and the chaos of items carelessly scattered and broken on the floor. Shocked and unsure what to do, I immediately called my dad, who then told me to call 911. As I sat in the empty house waiting for my dad and the police to come, I felt like the rug had been pulled out from under me. These four walls of rest and refuge that we call home suddenly felt like neither of those things. These feelings only amplified when the police and forensics arrived. Seeing these strangers walk through our house and take pictures of the disoriented mess was strange and unnerving. But as the dust settled, I reached out to my small group and other close sisters in our church family. Immediately, I was overwhelmed with so many life-giving words. I remember being particularly strengthened when one older sister reminded me that even though no one in my family expected a robbery when we left the house that day, God did. He knew it was going to happen because it proceeded from His fatherly hand. There truly is no higher comfort in our trials than leaning on God's sovereignty. Knowing that God was working even this for my good put my worries to rest and even encouraged me to give thanks for the circumstance because I knew that nothing can enter into my life that hasn't already been filtered through His love. If it was the will of God to crush His own Son, then surely I can trust that He will only ever do what is best for me as well. It was also God's extraordinary timing that the robbery happened during the generosity initiative, when our church had already been thinking about the fact that everything belongs to the Lord. With these truths fresh on my mind, seeing my house in its vulnerable state was such a reminder that our loving Father is as free to take away good things as He is to give them. Nothing that was stolen was ever mine to begin with. It was God's kindness to let me enjoy His gifts for a short while, so I can gladly surrender them to Him whenever He sees fit. My family spent the next day cleaning the house and documenting everything that was stolen. While it was hard counting our losses, it also gave me the opportunity to consider the one thing not even robbers can take away, my salvation. Our earthly homes are not the safe havens we make them out to be. They are vulnerable to break-ins and full of things that are simply passing away. But whatever loss we may suffer on this side of eternity, it cannot compare to all that we gain now and in eternity because of our union with Christ. Of the many things we gain in Christ, a deep love for God's people is certainly one of them. Going to church the Sunday after the robbery was exactly what my heart needed. Tears streamed down my face when we sang, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." Everything in me exclaimed a resounding amen to those lyrics that spoke of Christ's sufficiency in all things. But being engulfed in the singing of the faithful saints around me also reminded me that I cannot live without Christ's body. Seeing the ways so many people were willing to help my family by providing a meal or even offering to help clean our house gave me so much confidence that if anything were to ever happen, I know without a doubt that my church family will be there for me. Lighthouse, it is a blessing beyond measure to journey these pilgrim days with you. Thank you for being Christ to me and always encouraging my heart to keep trusting Him. When faced with hard providences, let us never forget that all His paths are steadfast love, and that His steadfast love is better than life. Wherever He leads, it will only be toward more of His goodness. Thank you.
Hi, Lighthouse. My name is Daniel Yi, and my family and I have been attending Lighthouse for almost 9 years now. My wife, Diana, and I have four children, Stephen, who's 14, Noah's 12, and our twins, James and Elizabeth, who are 10. When Kim asked me to share for the anniversary service, my initial reaction was an absolute no. You can ask anyone that's in my small group, but public speaking is definitely outside of my comfort zone. And so Kim had also asked about 5 years ago, and at the time I didn't feel like there was much to share. But after praying and being convicted about what God has been doing in my heart, I realized it wasn't anything other than the fear of man holding me back. So I'm up here now to testify to God's faithfulness and His timing and His gracious provision in this church family. In October of 2015, we were living in Porter Ranch with four kids under six. Our oldest had just started kindergarten, and we had just celebrated the twins' birthday, first birthday. Life was hectic, but we were plugged into a wonderful church family at Emmanuel Bible Church. We thought we'd be at IBC forever, but then came the unexpected. We lived on a hill near underground gas wells, and in late October, a massive gas leak, one of the largest in U.S. history, started. The smell was like you'd left your gas stove gas on all day, but on the outside. Our son, Stephen, began waking up with nosebleeds, and we realized we had to get our family out of there. We moved from hotel to hotel for 3 weeks, and everyone got sick at some point from the instability and constant eating out. Eventually, the gas company covered a rental, and we found a home closer to my work in Thousand Oaks. We packed our entire home in a few days and made the move. We were now an hour from church in a new community with Stephen starting a new school. After a few months in Thousand Oaks, we started wondering if we should find a local church. But right as we were beginning to settle, a job opportunity came up in Redondo Beach. Some of our close friends from IBC had already moved to Lighthouse. And I remember grabbing lunch with Mark Choi and Wayne Hu after the interview, talking about how crazy it would be to move again. Well, I didn't get the job, so we figured the Lord wanted us to stay in Thousand Oaks. But a couple months later, they called back and offered me the position. We had only been in Thousand Oaks for 8 months. Were we really gonna move again? Stephen would have to change schools again. The thought of packing everything up again was daunting. But after prayer and seeking counsel, we felt the Lord was leading us in taking this new job. The gas leak happened in October of 2015. We moved to Thousand Oaks in December of 2015, and then again to Torrance in August of 2016. Once we got here, the idea of joining a local church came back, especially with good friends already at Lighthouse. Honestly, I would have never left IBC on my own, but God had other plans. Through all the twists and turns, he led us to Lighthouse. Transitioning wasn't easy, and there are still times we miss the intimacy of a smaller church. But over the past 9 years, God has shown his kindness in so many ways. Through the youth ministry, as our children transition from toddlers to elementary to high school, through relationships and opportunities at the church that have challenged Diana and I to grow in serving and leading, and through people walking with us during hard seasons and allowing us to do the same for others. And so that brings me to his kindness during the recent generosity initiative. Like many of you, Diana and I wrestled and even argued over what and how we should give. And the Lord really used this time to reveal our hearts and draw us closer to him. When the initiative started, I considered giving some crypto I had invested back in 2020 during COVID. It had grown significantly, and I had already taken out my initial investment. So all that was left was profit. Still, I hesitated to give it up. I kept thinking, what if it keeps going up? What if it could help fund retirement or college for the kids? The love of money, this dream of getting rich, had a tight grip on me. Then right in the middle of the generosity initiative, I got an email from Coinbase asking me to move my crypto to a wallet due to regulatory changes. I followed the instructions, and it turned out to be a total scam. I lost all of it. My day job is in treasury. This is what I do for work. And I fell for a scam. I felt sick to my stomach when I found out, ashamed, embarrassed, and I couldn't believe it. When I told Diana what had happened, I expected her to be upset, but she wasn't. She prayed for me and reminded me that it was the Lord's anyways. She prayed that even this loss would be part of God's sovereign plan and good plan for our family. The Lord had been doing a work in her heart and preparing her for this moment through our Generosity Initiative series. It reminded us of Job 1:21 when he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And even in that loss, God was doing something. He was prying our hands off of the things of this world and drawing us back to himself. And we continued to pray and talk through what giving would look like for our family. The night before Giving Sunday, we attended Brian and Sabrina's wedding. And it reminded us of our own wedding 15 years ago. We also had a church wedding with a reception on site and a buffet dinner for our guests. But more than the event itself, the gospel was clear throughout the night. The point of the wedding was to direct our hearts towards Christ and make him known. On the drive home, Diana and I talked about the evening and how encouraged we were from the worship service. We talked about the generosity initiative and the loss of the crypto. We talked about how we were both thinking in silos and how easy it was to focus only on our time here on earth. In The Treasure Principle, Randy Alcorn says, the act of giving is a vivid reminder that it's all about God, not about us. It's saying, I'm not the point, he is the point. He does not exist for me, I exist for him. That evening, we shared what we were both thinking about giving, and the amounts ended up being very close to each other. But at the end of the day, it wasn't about the number. It was about how the Lord used circumstances, both joyful and painful, to loosen our grip on the world and recenter our hearts on Christ and what is eternal. 10 years ago, we never would have imagined we'd be here in Torrance and being at Lighthouse. But we've seen time and time again that God is faithful in every season. He uses everything, relocation, loss, hardship, and joy, to draw us closer to his Son. We're so thankful for Christ and his atoning work on the cross that gives us a clear vision for what and who truly matters. And we're grateful for you, Lighthouse, for constantly pointing us to Jesus and walking alongside us these past 9 years. To close, I will leave you with a verse from my kid's favorite Christian artist. Oh Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the whole world till my head hurt just to find out your way's better. Praise be to our God. Thanks.
Well, now we could be done with service here, and some of you wish we would, so we can go get snacks. But we did want to also share with you a little bit more about the generosity initiative. Now, we discussed how to reveal the amount of the commitment. One person who was kind of helping us out shared that they knew of a church where the elders gave their senior pastor the amount in a sealed envelope. So he found out on stage when he revealed it, but they'd only raised half the amount. And they said it did not go well. I was like, first of all, is it sinful that I want to see that video? Like, I really want to know what that looked like. It seems like such a bad idea. Like, how much did the elders not like that guy to do that? My idea was, I said, we should have the kids come in and give their Lego-shaped piggy banks, and they should build the numbers with the banks. And then someone pointed out it would take like 2 hours, and they would probably get the numbers wrong. But still, that would have been pretty cool. But really, a few weeks ago on our Commitment Sunday, when individuals and families, during that time when they were putting their cards in the baskets, I was kind of sitting there and reflecting, and already I was starting to think about today and what we might share. And honestly, in particular, I was thinking, what if we don't raise the money that we hope to? Like, I didn't want the church to be discouraged because that was such a special service. And the conclusion I came to was this, that my ministry in part every week is to help you see life from the perspective of your faith in Christ, right? That's why we look at the Word of God every week. And so no matter the amount, that is what that I was supposed to do. So no laser light shows, no fireworks. Let's instead just briefly consider God's Word again and how we should think about this morning. So that's my job, as boring as it may be. But here is my second encouragement. So the first was, let's be thankful for the greater grace of transformed hearts. And second would be, let's look forward to even greater grace to come. Let's look forward to greater grace to come. Now, as we've mentioned, today is our anniversary, and like every year, we celebrate the grace of Christ and his kindness to and through our church family. And in part, that's what anniversaries are for, to celebrate milestones and to reflect on cherished memories. But importantly, an anniversary acknowledges the passage of time. And so our anniversary should remind us of the story that God has written for our church, a story of his love and faithfulness, his never-ending grace over the past couple of decades. So a Sunday like this is not just an opportunity to look back and be thankful for what God has done, but to let that encourage us to then look forward in faith to what God will do. Again, it's all part of his bigger story for us. Earlier, I mentioned the importance the Bible places on remembering, and yet remembering wasn't simply to kind of know what happened in the past or even just to encourage thankfulness. Remembering was meant to encourage and deepen faith. And so as we look again at our passage in Philippians 4, remember, this is what's happening. Paul is thankful again for the support that they gave him, but more than anything, he's happy for what it means for the Philippians, because their financial support represents a people who just loved and deeply worshiped God. In fact, that's what he says in the very next verse, in verse 18. He says, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. What a beautiful picture that depicts that what we mentioned earlier, that God, it was about God's grace in them. Their generosity represents their hearts, their worship, what they deeply loved and valued. Now, part of me feels like, well, Paul could have just ended right there, like this incredible picture of generosity and this picture of faithfulness of God ending on this idea of this beautiful picture of worship, this fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Amen. But Paul doesn't end there because the Philippians story doesn't end there. This is what he says in verse 19, and he says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So now Paul, who had been looking back to what they had done and kind of celebrating their worship now looks to the future and celebrates God's future grace. God will provide for them. God will take care of them. He wants them to see that bigger story. There is so much more to come. And so here's my hope in sharing this, that as we celebrate another anniversary and as we celebrate the financial commitment of the church family, understand, we're not just looking back or even just thanking God that he would provide for this church, but that we should see today as a very special and important chapter of the bigger story that God has written for our church and really written for our lives. So like I said, let today encourage us to look forward to even greater grace to come. There's so much more to our story. I mean, it made me think of the first generosity initiative. It was so special for those of us who were there. I remember when we committed as a church family, how special that service was. It was one of my favorites, like just people going forward and wanting to be a part of this. And then I remember when we heard a couple of weeks later the amount raised and just being in awe together at what God had done. Like we needed to raise this amount, and it was almost exactly that amount. I remember moving into this church home and just even walking around when it was empty before we had our first service and just this feeling of gratitude that God would do this. Now, at the time, it just seemed like special moments, like these moments of gratitude and celebration. But what it became was a significant and important chapter in the story of our church, one that instilled faith in so many of us and encouraged us to believe that God could do far more than we could ask or even dream. So much so that during this generosity initiative, when you talk to people who had been through the first one, there was this excitement and even this thankfulness that we get to do this again together. I mean, you can imagine, like, we get to give away money again. And people were excited on it because of what happened last time. And that's what we'd pray for this time. Not that people would see this simply as kind of the pursuit of a building, but really the building of faith. A chapter in a story that deepens our love for Christ and grows our faith so much so that this is one of those things we tell our kids. One of those things that in the years to come, we will look back and say, that was one of the more significant moments of grace that we experienced. Now, in part, we've already seen this. We've already seen parts of this chapter of grace in the recent months. I mentioned earlier just the work that God is doing in our hearts. I mean, that is such a grace. Like people who never talked about money, thinking about it with friends and family, like wanting this to be a part of their faith, wanting to live this out in their faith. Young families putting off big purchases and just because they want to give generously. People with little, yet sacrificing so generously, like wanting to give more. Maybe the best thing, people coming to the conclusion that because Christ is our great treasure, then giving is actually gain. We also saw that in our Commitment Sunday a few weeks ago. That was one of those like special moments, right? I think for many, what was so moving was that we did this together as a church family. Like to that point, I think a lot of people were wrestling with what to give and maybe it felt more personal or it was about your family. It was very individual. But that morning when we made our commitment with so many of you, that was so special because we did this as a church family and we came together and we worshiped in that way. It was such a meaningful service. And so we hope today is just another one of those moments, those parts of our story we never forget, and that excites us to see how God will continue to be faithful over the months and years to come. That it would help us to look forward to even greater grace in the future because there's so much more to our story. And so we want to share with you the results of the giving, not only to thank God for his provision, but to encourage your faith. Now, our hope was $7 million, and I think the elders always knew that it was a very big number, but as God, as he often does, did more than we could ask. And so in God's abundant grace, we raised $10 million. So... specifically, $10,018,827.75. Not sure that, I think it's going to change when the kids bring theirs in, but that change at least will. But absolutely amazing, right? Like, now you've heard us preach enough to know that we would have believed God is good if we'd raised $10 or $10 million. But that said, I think we have to really celebrate and be moved to gratitude, not simply because of the size of the amount itself, but what that size represents. It represents God's powerful grace in transforming our hearts. It represents our worship and our love for Jesus, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. It represents so many individuals and families who are declaring that money is not their treasure because Christ is. And it represents people believing that because of the gospel, that giving is actually gain. And to our point, it represents why we can trust God. Not because we think God will provide all the money we need, but because we're convinced that he will keep changing our hearts. And through changed hearts, can you imagine what God might do next? Brings us back to where we start this devotional. Let's look forward. Let's look forward to even greater grace to come. And so two just really simple encouragements. First, let's trust God for the grace to be faithful in our generosity. I mean, while our generosity initiative series is over, it was an initiative. Really, it's the beginning of a season of generosity and hopefully a lifetime of generosity. But for that, we need grace. But today should just encourage you, like, God has lavished grace upon us. Let us believe he will give us everything we need to take the next steps in faith. God will be faithful to our story. And second, let's plead with God for grace now in finding a church home. I'm sure for some of you, $7 million seemed like too big of a number, and I would honestly count myself in that group, and yet God was gracious. And I think finding an actual church home by human estimations is going to be pretty hard. But let today encourage us to believe God can do more than we ask. But with that, will you start making a regular part of your prayer time just to ask God for a new church home, a new campus? Let's be unrelenting in our prayer because of how desperate in grace we know that we are. It's not just going to be human effort, but also because of how much faith we have. We want to see God be gracious because our story isn't over yet. Lastly, before we have a time of offering, including getting to celebrate with our kids as they give, let me just encourage you not to forget something that you've likely heard me say many, many times, especially if you've been with us. But I share this because I don't want this to be about us, right? But if you're new, I shared before that on the first Sunday of our church, 22 years ago today, I told those who had come, our hope as a church isn't that people would leave Lighthouse saying, like, what a great sermon, or what great worship, or even what a great church. Our passion is for people to leave saying, what a great God. And on a Sunday like this, filled with the story of his grace, I don't think we have any other choice but to come to that conclusion. What a great God. Christ is the great treasure. And so let's take a moment. Let's thank our great God. And as we do this, I want to really briefly, I want to excuse the parents of our toddlers, so that's ages 3 and below, if they would like to go get their kids to be part of the giving later, so you're free to go grab them now. But for the rest of you, I wanted to give you a moment to first just thank God silently on your own, not only for his grace, for what we did as a church family, but even what he's been doing in your heart. And then I'll take a moment and close our time. Dear Father, we are overwhelmed with your kindness. Lord, the amount given says nothing about us, and it says so much about your grace in our hearts. And so we want to thank you. We want to be moved to worship. We want to be more humble before you. We want to be moved to tears and to thankfulness because you have been so great and so kind to us. So we hope today has been about you, that in every aspect, people have been just encouraged to be, and reminded that we have a great God that we trust. And so, Lord, we praise you. You are our great God. We praise Christ. He is the true treasure. We hope, Lord, that those realities would continue to encourage our faith as we leave today. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.